I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
This is the story of a Russian kid chasing a very Canadian dream. So yes, naturally, it is a story that involves hockey and hopes of the NHL and stardom and Stanley Cups. That's how it starts, anyway. If you're going to hit the NHL lottery and buck the odds, you're going to have to leave home to do it. And you're going to have to do that at a very young age, and you're going to be gone basically all the time. Canadian kids do this, going from province to province, from big cities to small towns and vice versa. And because the Canadian junior hockey system is the fastest pipeline to the NHL, kids from other countries, like Russia, do the same thing. They just travel further and to a place where they don't speak the language. But almost every one of those kids, Russian and Canadian, eventually faces a time when the dream collides with reality. They are not going to make it to the NHL. They are not going to make millions. They've tried, they've given it everything, but it's time to go home. This is a story about what happens when you refuse to admit that, when the dream might be over and home might be a long way away, but you're not willing to let it go. This is the story of a Russian kid chasing a Canadian dream, no matter where it leads. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is a small story with big implications. Gare Joyce is a senior writer at Sportsnet. He finds some of the most interesting stories in sports in the most unlikely places. Gare, you wrote about a Russian living the Canadian dream.
Sort of the Canadian dream. He's living a dream. It's sort of a multinational hybrid dream. So I was looking to do a story about Russian kids coming to Canada and the U.S. to advance their hockey career, to play minor hockey. And I saw that this one kid, 21, Ivan Bondarenko, had 25 points in his first three games in the Greater Metro Hockey League, a sort of Maverick League that plays out in Ontario from Windsor up to Miskimming. It's right. All over the place. And it's a pay-to-play league.
What does that mean?
It's a league that requires players to pay $5,000 to $10,000. It's not recognized by Hockey Canada. If you play in this league, you can't play in any league recognized by Hockey Canada. So that means you can't play major junior hockey.
So this is a fringe league.
It's the fringe of the fringe.
Yeah. So how did Ivan come to Canada?
Ivan had played in the Red Army program in Moscow, and his father coached in that organization. And Ivan had played with a few players who are in the NHL or drafted. And Ivan sort of lost the thread a bit at age 13, 14. He ended up playing double A in Moscow, which is like a lower level. And he was ready to quit hockey, but then he had gone to his dad and said, look, I want to stick with it. I want to go to North America. And his father said, oh, I'm giving you 24 hours. You tell me if you're going to do it, but there's no going back. And his dad booked the ticket the next day and tried to figure out, you know, where he could go and what he could do. And so Ivan came over with no guarantees of playing anywhere. And this is like he was just 15 at the time.
Did he speak English?
No.
He just got on a plane?
He got on the plane with his luggage and the power of prayer. And he went to a showcase that his father was able to find in Denver. And he was approached by a coach who had watched him in the tryout and said, you know, would you like to play in Washington? And Ivan's thinking the White House.
Yeah.
You know, and so he signs on. And it's the state of Washington, Bremerton. So anyways, he's gone geographically 12 time zones away at that point into basically a rainforest. But you can imagine it was a pretty lonely existence.
Yeah. So it was an uphill battle from the start.
Yeah. Well, and at that point, his contemporaries from Red Army, quite a few of them, they had all come to North America to play in different places. The league that he was playing in, he was below all of them. And Ivan's a small kid at 21. I don't even want to say a man at 21. The pictures of him when he first showed up in Bremerton, he looked like he was 12 years old. I don't know how Ivan really got through that year. And when we talked about it, he told me how lonely he was. His father said they would talk on Skype, and his father said, if you're going to come back, you know this is hockey for you, right? Just sort of reinforcing that message that you've got 24 hours. Make a decision that's going to shape your entire life. When I was writing this story, that was the dynamic that hit home for me. When you're 15, can you actually, over 24 hours, decide what you want to do with the rest of your life and accept the implications? And his worst moments were that first year when he's in the state of Washington, not being able to speak English. He said, I just made up my mind. I'm going to learn how to speak English. I'm going to figure this out. I can't stay in my room all day like it's a jail. I can't be on a hockey team and not know what the coach is saying. And he said the first day he got there, the players got him to repeat a four-letter word and then pointed to the coach and it's like, go say it to him. And next thing you know, they're having a bag skate punishing him. And he had no idea what had gone on. He figured it out after. But through force of will, he made a decision. I'm going to double down. I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn to speak English. He ended up enrolling in schools that had ESL, but they just placed him in a regular class. And he must be a quick study because he ended up graduating high school in Oklahoma City with his age group.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about the journey, and then we'll get to kind of what it means and why his story is so captivating. But how does he go from Puget Sound to Tillsonburg, Ontario in the course of like 4 years, during which time his peers would have gone from junior to the draft to the league?
Yes. Like Ivan Provorov is playing for the Philadelphia Flyers, making millions of dollars. And Ivan, who was his teammate, is paying $5,000 to $10,000 to play for a team in Tillsonburg. So Ivan put together a video of his play-in games, a highlight package, and went looking for teams to play for ensuing seasons. His first two seasons were in Bremerton for two different teams. It was basically pointing towards kids getting a scholarship to a lesser U.S. college program, small schools. Ivan, by rights, was more talented. He was the youngest player and the leading scorer on those teams. For sure, a very skilled kid. I don't know that you could really count how many hockey leagues there are out there in the United States. They are everywhere. And he ended up in a pretty big one in Oklahoma City. It is the Western States Hockey League, a league that has 23 teams. There's a team in Saskatchewan, a couple in Alberta. They're in Washington, California. They are all over the place. And the team he played on in Oklahoma City, just to give you an idea of the phenomenon of European players coming to play in Canada and the U.S. at a level below major junior, 17 European players were on his team in Oklahoma City.
Really?
Yeah, some came and left. But over the course of one season, they had 17 kids, Russian kids, Czech kids. It was very popular with them. But they had all kinds of offshore talent. And that program, sort of the Oklahoma City program, sort of is pointed to attracting European players. Ivan's not really an outlier at all. He's an unusual case, but there are dozens and maybe even hundreds of European kids, Russians among them, who come here looking to advance their hockey career.
This is why we wanted to talk to you about this story, because I feel like anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I pay attention to sports, and that is not something I would have ever assumed. I know really talented European kids come over here to show the scouts what they can do and hopefully get drafted. I didn't see the point beyond that.
The best kids are getting paid to come over.
Yeah.
They're basically professionals at 17. And this isn't that. Right? This is a kid. I mean, it was an adventure for him.
And then they just do it for a while. And then if it doesn't work for them, they pack it up and they go home and they've got stories.
Yeah, I think that there's a very, very high number of them that it's a lark for a season. And probably the most, I don't want to say the most significant page in their hockey histories.
But it's an adventure.
But it's an adventure.
But not Ivan.
Not Ivan. Like when he got to Oklahoma City, he still had hopes and actually interest in playing U.S. college hockey. He had a scholarship offer from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, but he could not pass his SAT. He got close. He took three runs at it, but he couldn't qualify academically. As much as he had a high school diploma, his chances of playing U.S. college were sort of out the window.
So the NHL's gone by now, and he knows it. And the U.S. college hockey.
Well, there's always the dream.
There's always the dream. U.S. Yes. college hockey is gone. Where does he go next?
So he had prospects to play in the Federal League, which is a small, like, six-team professional league.
Another again, one of these leagues that scattered across the
fruited
prairies.
Plain. Yeah. Yep. And
I'd like to point out for the listener that Gare had to make notes on every one of these leagues because that's how far this journey goes.
It is like so many stamps in his passport,
yeah.
Right? That's what this is. I mean, it's hard to track. So Ivan had a chance to try out for teams in the Federal League. But again, he's at 160 pounds. He thought, if I put in a year of playing at one more level, he'd sort of run out of levels of junior hockey in the States and works out and fills out a bit. He's a late maturing kid. He would wait a season to take his shot at playing at the lowest level of pro in North America. And that's what the Federal League is. It's way down there. The East Coast League is considered the lowest league with an affiliation to NHL teams, and it's a big jump from the Federal League to the East Coast League.
Right.
Ivan's hope is that he would be able to use the Federal League as a jump to the East Coast League so that he's only three leagues from the NHL. So this was sort of a holding pattern for him going to Tillsonburg.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're talking about a kid from who grew up in Moscow, ending up in like a small town, Ontario, a Mennonite community and horse and buggies and things like that. The culture shock that he has been through at this point, leaving home at 15 and just ending up in these strangest of places. And
does he realize how strange it is when you talk to him? Does he realize his story is a little more unusual?
Oh, definitely. And it gets far more unusual, as the listener will learn shortly. But I think he does. I don't think his parents quite understand everything that's happened in all this time. But one amazing thing about Ivan is that he is the social coordinator wherever he goes. He is the light in the room.
From the kid that didn't speak English when
From the
he arrived.
Kid that didn't speak English. Now he's the elder statesman on this Tillsonburg team, which, like the team in Oklahoma City, has a bunch of European kids from the U.S., all looking for a chance to play hockey at some sort of level and paying for it.
Yeah.
It's very odd, but in this team in Tillsonburg that doesn't have a player from Tillsonburg or even close, Ivan is the catalyst. Beloved by all and a small sensation in this town, went to Tillsonburg and, like, in a couple months could have run for mayor, right? He's just, like, been taken in by the community, and he just has a love of life that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. What happens next? He gets to Tillsonburg, he owns the town.
Yeah, and I go out to write about him, and shortly after that, I was going to see him play for a third time here in suburban Toronto, and I get word that he broke his ankle.
And this was
sports
the one
writer's
year.
Nightmare.
Yeah,
you've worked up a story, and then your subject is hurt, and you know, whores the combat.
Poor you, poor, first of all.
Poor Ivan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, not poor me, right? This is not going to be the last story that I'll ever write. My career wasn't exactly riding on it. But I felt for Ivan. He was going to be out of commission for more than 2 months. Pretty significant injury, screws in his ankle in what was a pretty critical year for him in hockey. So I said, Ivan, like, please come back. Do whatever you can do. I can run this story if you come back, which is mostly true. As it turned out, probably could have gone with it, even if he wasn't back in the lineup with Tilsonberg in the playoffs as we speak. Flash forward, I'm calling him on a regular basis, trying to find out how it's going, how his recovery is going. At this point, Ivan's now my Facebook friend and posting things on my timeline all the time. And right, like a level of engagement that I'm not really used to with covering sports with young athletes. But he gets back in the lineup and I say, Ivan, you know, I can run with the story, but let me just flesh this out. What was that time on the sidelines like? And he said, I have something to tell you, right? And I said, sure. He said, I got married.
Oh.
And I said, you got married? He said, yes. And I'm having a child. And I shook my head, right? And he said, no, my girlfriend, who I met in Oklahoma City, she's from Dallas. And I went to Dallas over Christmas and we got married. And I was like, okay. So now you're a married father-to-be paying to play junior hockey in Tilsonburg, and your wife is a couple of thousand miles away.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And he said, when's this story going to run? And I said, in a little bit. And he said, well, I haven't told my parents. Right. And I was like, we can wait until you have that conversation. Right. Anyways, Ivan was reluctant to tell them, but he did. His parents finally got their mind around it. Thankfully, they did not have to find out by reading the story that we published on the website. But Ivan is now sort of on a path to U.S. citizenship, I guess, and is going to live in the States. If he's not playing hockey in the Federal League or the East Coast League, he's going to be starting a new life in Dallas, I guess, or some place in the South, wherever his wife's school and school for him take him. It was a weird, tortuous, circuitous route with many stops along the way. And the one thing that really hit home for me is that it's not that he couldn't be denied. You know, he could, we're not talking about like he kept going and he made the NHL. Like, he made the best of every situation and had fun doing it and had immense social intelligence. He's an inspiration in that way, that he went from a lonely 15-year-old kid in a foreign place that he knows nothing about, clinical cultural shock, and has integrated himself at every stop along the way and cut out a new life for himself. And there's something beautiful about that. He's the happiest guy in any room that he walks into. That's not because he's had all kinds of reinforcement that he's going to be on his way to hockey greatness. I would guarantee that he's a happier guy than all of those ex-teammates of his who actually are playing professional hockey or on a track to do that.
So often we talk, and there's the sports narrative for sure of, you know, succeeding against all odds. But like, even just narrative in general, you chase your dreams and you don't want to fail, right? And it's kind of like, well, I'm either going to get to this or this is going to have been an effort in vain. And he's what attracted me to your story and Ivan is that he's the opposite of that, right?
Yeah. And I think there is an eyes on the prize aspect to so many stories. It's about the destination, where you want to end up. And I don't know that Ivan really had that, Yeah. Like he would not be against playing in the NHL. I think he has a realization that that is the longest of long shots. You know, that he might have prospects of playing minor professional hockey, whatever the rewards for that would be.
And there's so many kids who would consider that a failure, right? Who are dreaming of the league.
But I think Ivan wakes up and says, how can I have the best possible day today? You know, and how can I make your day better? And he's embraced the idea of settling in the States and starting a new life. It's a bit of an immigrant story with a hockey foundation to it. It's not a big story. It's a great little story. And sometimes you want to write them, and they should be known more.
Gare Joyce, senior writer at Sportsnet, one of our favorite guests. That was The Big Story. For more from us, you know where we are. We're at thebigstorypodcast.ca, always and forever, and at frequencypodcastnetwork.com. You can find us on social media at TheBigStoryFPN on Twitter and at FrequencyPods on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And we would love a review. If you're in Apple, if you're in Google, if you're in Stitcher, if you're in Spotify, please give us a rating, add us to your favorites. Work those algorithms. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.